Hello, it's me. I'm George from Ireland. Another video when I'm obliged to say requiescat in pace. So, Kevin Keegan, real name Joseph Kevin Keegan, has been summoned to the great big stadium in the sky, and that was just yesterday. Known to some as King Kev or the Mighty Mouse, the mouse, it was an allusion to his very modest stature. Wasn't he something like 5'6"? So, Kevin Keegan was an outstanding footballer of the 70s and the 80s. He could do these mazy runs, so incredible fancy footwork, could dribble through some of the best defenders in the world. Scored some. I don't think he was a particularly much striker, but doing more assists. So yeah, had an astonishing presence on and off the pitch. So some people thought he was one of the most marvelous players in footballing history. So that is Kevin Keegan, born on Valentine's Day 1951 in West Yorkshire. So it's his great grandfather came over from Ireland his to England, and his father had grown up in the Newcastle area, later Doncaster, where he worked as a coal miner and so on. And so his mum was a Yorkshire woman. So Keegan went to a school right there. His dad had been a Catholic. I'm not sure if Kevin Keegan was brought up in Catholicism. Anyway, so yeah, his family had been in mining for a while. His dad supported Newcastle United because he'd grown up on Tyneside and so on. So anyway, so Kevin Keegan later played for Newcastle United, the Toon, but his father died before that was it. So anyway, he got football boots. They grew up in quite a poor family. At one stage, the football boots was a bit of an extravagance for them. Playing footer as soon as he could, walk. Watching Doncaster Rovers, a team which had never rose to great heights. Now I know less than football about just about anybody else, but anyway, he was noticed as being talented, spotted by scouts. He later had a trial for Coventry City, which again I don't think was ever a Premier League, or do you say Premier Division team? Okay. But yeah, he didn't get a contract on that occasion. All right. So finally, after a few mishaps, he finally got to play professional football. So he was very physically fit. He used to do boxing. He used to run up to 50 miles and things like that. Everything he could do to have himself in tip-top condition. He only took two O levels, art and history, and those are the days when a lot of people left school without any qualifications at all. Okay, so he began full-time work at the age of 15 as a clerk in an office, which was really not his scene. So playing footer, that's what inspired him. So hardly drinking, eschewing smoking because he didn't want to reduce his sporting performance. Okay, so then eventually playing for Scunthorpe United, not considered the best team. Anyway, he drove the minibus sometimes to help the team because it had so little money. But anyway, it's finally a Liverpool talent scout saw him and he went off to play for Liverpool, and that's what really made his name in the 70s. Playing for Liverpool in England and those whatever they call them, is it the UEFA Cup or something? Okay, so won't go through all he achieved in football. Then later he played for a Hamburger Sportverein, Verein meaning like union or club. Okay, so he was transferred. So one of very few English players to play for Germany. It was not Germany, a German club at that time, like it was in Southampton in the early 80s. Finally, in 1982, moved to Newcastle United, play for the Toon, but his father had died by then. Obviously, he knew his father would be incredibly proud to have played for him, played for them. Okay, so then he retired. And he very briefly played for Blackpool, Blacktown City, Blacktown's in Australia, and that was it. Okay, he also played as an international in a youth team against, and he scored a goal against the German Democratic Republic. It doesn't exist anymore, been absorbed into the Federal Republic of Germany. Anyway, so then he played for England against Wales, for example, scoring against Wales and so on. Finally, captain England in 1980, but they didn't do terribly well in their in the World Cup that time. So yeah, that was his international footballing career, was in the 1980s, and then he moved into management. So in 1992, he took over as manager of Newcastle United, a club he previously played from. Now that's a bit controversial. People think that, you know, former players and managers of that same club are too opinionated, too emotional about it, don't bring objectivity to it. An internal hire is always a bit problematic. I mean, I know he'd left Newcastle United 8 years earlier. I know it's the same in teaching. Picking a headmaster, headmistress was previously in the school. That creates rivalries. Why did he, she get it, not me, or whatever? And they've got preferences within it. Okay, and all the, an outstanding player is not necessarily an outstanding manager. Likewise, the best managers were often like mediocre players themselves. It's not the same skill set. It's not transferable. But, you know, by all accounts, he was a very able and accomplished manager. So, well, obviously, the results speak for themselves. And there was obviously some difficulties in this early year. But they did have some excellent results later on. He did make some controversial decisions about the people he hired, the people got rid of. He took brought Andy Cole over from Bristol City, and he became one of the most important players in the mid-90s. So coming third in the Premier League in 1994, doing well in the UEFA Cup and things like that. So Alex Ferguson was his big rival over at Manchester City at that time. So later he left that club. And he was really adored by the people in Newcastle. He managed Fulham for a while when it was still owned by Mohamed Fayed. It was a second division team at the time. But it didn't last very long. So then he left there. He was very briefly manager of England in 1999. So Glenn Hoddle had been dismissed as manager of England for saying that disabled people were born disabled because it was divine retribution for their transgressions in their previous incarnation. And so there's sort of his loony belief, and Tony Blair was one of the people who said, well, he's got to go for that. All right, so some success against them. And then managing Manchester City, took over in 2001. Was he the one right before Pep Guardiola was there for a long time? So yeah, then he resigned from there in 2005, briefly had another role at Newcastle after that. So then he resigned. So he's known as having some of the worst hair, his poodle perm in the 1970s, and was right down to his shoulders and things like that. He played cricket at an amateur level and things like that. He was married, he had children, and that was it. So he's been adulated by many people. I suppose he's one of those people who helped push hooliganism and racialism out of sport. The English game was marred, the Heysel disaster, Sheffield Wednesday, what happened at Hillsborough in Sheffield, not Hillsborough, in County Down. So, and that wasn't on his watch, that was Liverpool versus Sheffield Wednesday. But nevertheless, the shockwaves impacted football throughout England, indeed throughout the British Isles. So he was the one person who helped turn it around and drive out white supremacism. Not that white supremacism was directly responsible for the Hillsborough disaster. So that's him, sorely missed. There was some famous charity cycle race, actually fell off the bike, came up with all sorts of ludicrous excuses. Bit of a Tony Blair supporter. And famously, he attended the Labour rally in 1996 when he and Blair headed the ball to each other many, many times. Okay. Right. Thanks for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.